Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
All right, let's go. Growing in Grace, the Growing in Grace podcast, growingingrace.org. It's all about growing in grace. If I haven't said growing in grace by now, I just really want to make people understand that they're listening to the Growing in Grace podcast. But this is Joel Brzezinski, along with Mike Kapler, and we get together every week to do this Growing in Grace podcast, sharing the love of God, talking about the gospel, like we did last week. The good news, Jesus Christ came as one of us and died as one of us and then rose again. And through that resurrection, we have life, everlasting life, eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, through what he has done. And so that's the good news. One thing you started talking about last week, toward the end, and so let's just do this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are called in many Bibles, there's a page before that, or they might just be collectively known as the Gospels. And it's kind of a misnomer, not kind of, but it really is, because the Gospel, the New Covenant, did not begin. This is something many of our listeners understand, but it might be a revelation for a lot of people. And if you're a new listener or new to this gospel of grace, this is something that's very important to know, that a lot of what happened, you know, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were four people who wrote about the life of Jesus, various things that happened regarding the life of Jesus, including things that he taught, things that he did. And some of those things, a lot of those things, were a ministry that Jesus had to his fellow Jewish people who were under the law. The law had a purpose. There was a reason that the law came, but the law itself is not the gospel. And so we're going to talk a little bit about why a lot of the words of Jesus were not gospel talk. They were not the good news, because as we were talking about last week, if you want to know what the gospel is, it's helpful to know what the gospel isn't, and that not everything that you see in the Bible is the gospel. So let's talk a little bit about that this week.
This was a big deal for you and me in our very early grace days when we started discovering this. Because you stop and you think about some of the things that get quoted with Bible verses and Jesus being quoted. I know what it's like to be quoted out of context, either in a newspaper or something. I remember one time doing something for a local news TV station. This was many years ago when I was in the business world. And it seemed like they talked to me for like half an hour. And there was about a 10-second clip that made the news. You know? And it wasn't bad or anything, but it's just easy to be misquoted, something taken out of context. We've seen that recently, even in the media, in news stories and stuff. You can kind of make it out to be almost anything you want, however you want to try to frame it, you know, however you want to try to spin it. There's ways to do that, and it's kind of tricky sometimes. And I know people mean well when it comes to Bible quotes and rattling off a verse here and there that may or may not be taken out of context. But this idea, and one of the best examples, first of all, let me just address what you just said about the new covenant. I mean, that's another thing. You talked about the misnomer of what is commonly referred to as in title as the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, and so on. But the New Testament page, I mean, the Bible is filled with, you know, human fingerprints. And somebody stuck that New Testament page in there. Sometimes the word testament can also mean covenant. Sometimes it's translated that way. And so people just kind of think of, starting with Matthew 1:1, that this is the start of the new covenant, because we're going to start getting into Jesus stuff now, and pretty soon red letters will show up, and it's just different than what we saw before that New Testament page, and what we refer to as the Old Testament. It's just different. I mean, this is the, you know, the crux of our Christianity, right? This fellow named Jesus is going to come along. He's going to be born, and he's going to grow up, and we see all this. And so something that got mentioned previously is that, even last week, it sort of got touched on directly or indirectly, and that is that the new covenant, well, we were talking more about the gospel, but I think now we're kind of paralleling here a little bit. We're going to parallel the gospel and the new covenant, because the gospel isn't just something in writing. It's not just something that's preached on. And the same is true with the new covenant. It's not a doctrinal declaration. We've said for many years, pointed out, that the covenant of Jesus Christ is really contained within the person of Jesus Christ. Isaiah prophesied that God would send forth a Savior, and God said that he would give him as a covenant for the people, and as a light for the Gentiles, by the way. It wasn't just for the Jewish people. But one of the things that I think, a bridge that we crossed in our early grace years, as an example of what we're talking about in these four books commonly referred to as the Gospels, is I would guess, Joel, obviously I don't really know this for sure, but I would guess that maybe one of the things that is taught on, as much as almost anything else in the Bible, from Sunday sermons, from the pulpit, might be what is commonly nicknamed the Sermon on the Mount, which kind of goes for three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It was sort of the centerpiece of my book, Clash of the Covenants. We laid out a roadmap that led up to this, and then we talked about some things after it, but we spent a few chapters on Matthew 5, 6, and 7 in the book. And one thing that we were discovering in our early grace years was that Jesus was not providing a new Christian teaching going forward from this point on, from the time of his sermon, so to speak, from the time of his talk and his teaching. He was not, from then on, that he was laying down some new rules, some new guidelines, a different direction from the old way. But in many Christian circles, I mean, the vast majority of them, this is viewed, along with many other things Jesus said, but this sermon was viewed as something that would be considered foundational new Christian teaching for generations going forward, when all Jesus was doing was actually having a conversation or discussing or talking to his disciples, however many there were at that time, probably a lot more than 12, but he was speaking to his disciples, and it was really a law-based sermon, not a Christian-based sermon. We've got the Lord's Prayer in the middle of all this, which is considered to be heavily embraced as something that we're supposed to repeat like monotone robots. And so I remember, Joel, I don't know if you remember this or not, but we came to the place in a church that we attended where some of the pastors were, you know, kind of coming into a greater knowledge of grace, and they asked you and me to do, for lack of a better phrase at the moment, like a Sunday school class, like mm-hmm. a class before the church service began on Sunday mornings, and just talk about these grace concepts that we were learning and coming into our own with the help of God. And I remember you and I discussing the possibility sometime of sharing this stuff about the so-called Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And you and I wrestled with whether we would share this kind of stuff. We would rather talk about maybe some other things that they could handle a little bit. We just wanted to spoon-feed people this grace, because we felt like if you try to shove too much down their throat, they're going to choke on it, you know?
Right.
And so back then, because it seemed so different, we were wrestling with, I don't know if we should, you know, get into this or not. Of course, now things have changed for us, and you know, whether it's the Sermon on the Mount or, you know, the
we
Book
don't
of
care
James,
what people think. No, I'm just
there's
kidding.
There's all kinds of stuff that we have come into our different understanding about that we're really not hesitant anymore. But back then we were. You probably remember that, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, and I was just joking around. I don't know if you heard me, but I said, yeah, now we just don't care what people think.
That's pretty much true.
But on the one hand, it's true. It's like, you know, people, you know, haters going to hate, you know. So it's like we just got to do what's in our hearts to do. But it is somewhat of a controversial thing with many believers because that's hard for people to accept. That the things that Jesus said, it's Jesus, you know, Jesus said these things. Jesus, he's our Savior. He's the Lord. He said these things. We can't, you're just running from the words of Jesus. You know, we even got kind of accused of that in a very small part of a certain book. It was written against the so-called hyper-grace gospel. But we're not running from the words of Jesus, but yet people take it that way. They think that we're dismissing the words of Jesus when really we're trying to put them in the context in which he spoke them. And like you said, it can be hard for people to accept that he was speaking to his Jewish disciples at the time in the Sermon on the Mount and in other places in these what we call the red letters, the words of Jesus. There was a song by DC Talk called The Red Letters. And I remember doing a blog post on that years ago, but in the lyrics of the song, it says, there is love in the red letters, there is truth in the red letters, there is hope for the hopeless, peace and forgiveness, there is life in the red letters. And then I think one of my comments on a blog post is that there's also death in the red letters, and there's a lot of condemnation, not Jesus condemning people, but I think what's misunderstood, whether it's in songs like that or just in the church at large, is that Jesus was preaching actually the ministry of death. As we've talked about many times on this podcast, the law is called by Paul the ministry of death and the ministry of condemnation. It's a ministry of bondage. It's the ministry through which sin increased. It was not a good thing, but it had a purpose. And so Jesus came teaching the law, because the law and the Old Covenant, that Old Testament, the Old Covenant law, was going to point to him, was pointing to him, toward him, but he was going to fulfill it. And after he fulfilled it, then something new came along, a new and living way. The law was not a living way. The law was a way of death. And Jesus was teaching the law as it was meant to be taught to the people who were under it. So a lot of the, quote, red letters, a lot of what Jesus said was not for Christians, was not a Christian teaching, was not a new covenant teaching. In fact, at one point, when it was down to 12 disciples, Matthew 10, Jesus said, it says, these 12, Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go in the way of the Gentiles, but the gospel, as we know it today, is for both the Jews and the Gentiles. And do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So this was, at this point in his ministry, he was teaching to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then a little while later, Matthew 15:24. The woman who had the daughter who was severely demon-possessed, if you look at that story, he basically ignored the woman crying for him to help. And in the end, he said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So this was a Gentile woman who had come to him, a woman from Canaan. But she said, she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. It's not good to take the word that was meant, you know, for Israel and give it to the Gentiles, is basically what he was saying there. And so you can see him being standing firm there that he's ministering. He was sent to minister to the people of Israel. So again, the point here is that a lot of the words that he was saying were not gospel. It was for the people of Israel. But she persisted, and she said, "Yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." So what he found in this woman was great faith. But the whole reason that we bring up this happening is to show how Jesus, his mindset, his ministry at that time, he was showing certain things, specific things to his Jewish disciples and to the people of Israel who were under the law as a whole. That's the reason why he said a lot of the things that he said and did a lot of things that he did. And then when he saw faith, that's really what this new covenant would be about. And so he changed his disposition toward this woman. But the ministry that he was ministering under continued, a ministry to the people of Israel, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so, even with that explanation, I think some people still find it hard to understand that not all the things that Jesus said were for us. You know, we can read all of the things that Jesus said, but it wasn't said to us or for us. You know, it wasn't something that we're to follow. Like you were talking about the Sermon on the Mount and many other things that Jesus said. Now, you do find in the red letters, you will find love and truth and hope for the hopeless and peace and forgiveness. You'll find things like that. But that's not the ministry that Jesus was under. That's when Jesus became, at times, more focused on the coming. Well, at that time, was going to be the coming new covenant. So you have to discern some of these things. And when you do get to understand the gospel, like what we talked about last week, the gift of God's righteousness, apart from works, apart from anything that we do, then you can learn to discern what some of the words that Jesus was saying. Was this gospel? Was this new covenant? Or was it old covenant law that he was teaching? And sometimes it takes time to sometimes understand some of this stuff. And it's a lifelong process. So by no means are we saying that anyone needs to understand this right away. We're just trying to help people to understand that not everything that Jesus said was for us and wasn't all gospel.
Well, and once you begin to understand that, it can help you from misidentifying what the gospel is. I think that's the whole point here. So this was one of those religious traditions where I had heard it spoken before from the front of the church, where somebody would say literally, and I quote, Jesus, they would say something like, "Jesus is talking to his disciples here. That means he's talking to us." And that is just a false statement. It's a concept that people have tried to apply, but it's not real. And so once you begin to realize that many things, and I think even sometimes things that people want to apply to the new covenant that Jesus said, weren't necessarily new covenant gospel type stuff. I'm not saying that Jesus didn't look forward to that in some places, but there were many things, you know. I mean, even the where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. We did a podcast on that. Yep. Somewhere along the way. Mm-hmm. And even that was related to the law. Right. It goes on and on. But I think the thing that really helped me begin to focus in on the context of the new covenant and the gospel, one of those things, we've talked about several now, but one of those things was understanding that much of what Jesus spoke within those red letters was not, as you just said, Joel, was not meant directly for us. It wasn't meant for future Christians. It was based more upon the law. I mean, even a leper getting cleansed, what did Jesus tell him to do? Go to the priest, show yourself. That was all part of the process. That was a law process. And the pages are filled with that. And of course, Jesus is focused on the Jewish people at that time who were stuck in this prison of this ministry of the Mosaic Law that could not bring them life or righteousness. And he was trying to help them begin to see things differently, that they needed a different plan. But you're right. I mean, the whole point here is the law of Moses was still in place until the death and resurrection of Jesus.
Yes, indeed. That's right. The law of Moses was still in effect. And then the new covenant came with the shedding of his blood. That's where everything changed. Hey, the time has come. A few weeks ago, as you know, if you've been listening, We asked you, the listener, to comment, to share your thoughts on this. Name something that completely changed things for you when coming from a traditional or legalistic-based religious mindset compared to a greater knowledge of grace. What are some of those religious things that you used to do that you don't do anymore? What are some things that changed, that grace changed in your life? You know, that kind of thing. And you commented, and we are going to get started on talking about that next week. We'll probably, I don't know how long, but we'll probably spend a few weeks on that. So we'll start on it next week right here on Growing in Grace.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki. Heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.